What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another amazing edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. Have you ever thought to yourself as a dentist, wow, working with PPOs is harder than ever? Well, we have the same thought. It's so complex that we have to bring in experts ourselves because the landscape is changing constantly. It's more complex than ever. So I thought we would bring back a regular guest. Her name is Shelley DeGroff, and she's an expert on how to navigate through these PPOs. And she shares with us today the big changes with insurances that you need to know about, and they're happening right now. So please listen up. Hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. You know the jam around here. I have the coolest job in the world. I get to interview the greatest experts in all of this awesome profession so that you guys can create a better practice and a better life. And today I have one of our recurring guests on. She's like one of our resident experts on all things PPO. And I told her before we hit the go button, like, I don't even want to think about what you do. I don't even want to like contemplate any of it. It's so complex. Her name is Shelley DeGroff. So Shelley, thanks for being back. I appreciate you.
Thanks for having us. We're excited to be here. So much to share.
Yeah. And so today we're going to kind of cover the changes. And this is no joke. I could have you on almost every month and talk about what's changing now, what's changing now. So I always like to start here. Number one, let's do this because we have a lot of new listeners. I would like for them to know who you are before we get started. Like, if I'm a listener to this, I'm like, why should I listen to Shelley DeGroff? Tell us what you do.
Awesome. So we are PPO advisors. We have been around for about 14 years now. So kind of one of the first businesses that really dove into insurance contracting, the web of insurance, understanding it, expelling knowledge about how interacting with these PPO contracts can impact your practice for the good or the bad. So we specialize in really helping providers understand their current PPO setup and how it is going to impact their bottom line. So anything to do with credentialing, fee schedule negotiations, setting up your practice for long-term success, that's where we shine.
Yeah, I love it. And you guys do an amazing job of that. So get us caught up. My question number two is like, give us a state of the union. Like, where are we today? And as we record this, it is Thursday, September 4th. So what's 2025. So what's going on in the world of PPOs?
So much is changing. So much is changing. So there's been a whirlwind of letters being emailed out, mailed out to offices with so much mass confusion. And I really encourage providers, office managers to do research, to follow podcasts just like yours, to read blogs, because it's changing so fast that it's hard to know what's going on day to day. So let's start with some of these first changes. One happened September 1st.
Okay.
And that was the lease share agreement of Aetna and MetLife. So that is a two-way share, meaning that you can pick Aetna up through your MetLife contract, or you can pick MetLife up through your Aetna contract. So that means if you were out of network with Aetna, but you were in network with MetLife, you are now considered an in-network provider for Aetna. Now, not all of Aetna's plans are being shared over. Their Medicare plans are not being shared, and their Aetna type one plans are not being shared. So those are your private purchased plans. So an individual policy that somebody goes to marketplace and purchases, that would not be shared over to MetLife. So those patients would be considered out of network. But any employer-based plan from Aetna would be shared over to MetLife utilizing MetLife's fee schedule.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead.
No, you go.
Well, so now we have, wait a minute. I participate with Aetna through Connection Dental or through Premier Dental. What does that mean for me? Well, that means the fee structure review that the networks can do internally, they'll look to see where their best reimbursement will be, the insurance company's best reimbursement. So the lowest fee they can attach to. So your Aetna through Connection may shift to MetLife if it is a lower fee schedule. If MetLife is a higher fee schedule, then it won't shift organically. You'll stay on the lower fee schedule you were on.
Yeah. And so now, number one, you know, I think the big message here is the onus is on the business owner. You know, no one's going to help you through this. Like, you really do need to understand this. And if you don't, this is where you just call Shelly on this. And then my second question, because I know the answer to this, but like, I want to just speak as a listener, like, how can they do this, Shelly? Like, how, I don't even know how, like, isn't that unlawful? Like, how can you even do this?
That's a great question. Cause honestly, one of my employees even just asked me that. They're like, what? Because we're being bombarded with all these calls, right? And they're like, how is it that it is legal that they can make these types of changes and there's really no vast information being shared with it? And that's part of the third-party contracting. The fact that these networks are able to lease out and contract elsewhere, if your contract is not held directly, they do not have to provide you the information. So if you were a part of Aetna through Connection, you're not getting the letter because your contract is not with Aetna. Your contract is with Connection for Aetna. So you're not getting this information if you're not directly contracted. So again, that just leaves so much room for, you know, interpretation of the wrong way. Again, there's so much misinformation out there as well, thinking, you know, certain plans will be shared when they're not and so forth. Another thing I want to touch on, since we're talking about Aetna and this MetLife share, is Aetna has been discussing the fact that they are removing around 90-some Medicare Advantage plans for dental. And that will be rolling out over the next several months. And it's affecting about 34 states. They've not been super transparent as to which states. But again, this is something that you're going to recognize in your practice. If you participate with a bunch of Medicare Advantage plans, which a lot of our practices do, they're changing that whole structure. So one of the recent changes was Aetna. You used to be able to pick up Aetna Advantage, Medicare Advantage through like Carrington. Well, that termination happened. And now the only way that you can pick this up is through either a direct contract with Aetna or through Connection right now. That's the only avenue for Aetna Medicare Advantage. So it used to be through multiple shared options, but they've severed that. So now it's just Connection or Aetna Direct. And if you go Aetna Direct for your Advantage, for your Medicare Advantage, then you are also opting to take the PPO plans through Aetna on the same fees.
And a lot of people do not know that.
Correct. This has been very confusing. There's information out there on the web, but it's very hard to sift through. So ultimately, again, we don't really know what all states are being impacted. They're pretty hush-hush on that, or what plans they're eliminating altogether.
Right.
So a lot of the time we filter those questions in front office situations where, hey, we need to renew our dental benefits. Do you accept this plan? Well, we don't know if we will be accepting this Advantage Medicare plan or Medicare Advantage plan. They may be eliminating it. We don't know what that looks like. So there's a lot of unknowns right now around the whole Aetna Medicare Advantage. But we do know you cannot pick it up through any other lease except Connection for right now, or through a direct contract.
Yeah. And can I just, I'm going to go, you know, I'm not the smartest guy, so I want to simplify this and I want to ask you a question and just go high level, maybe help listen our listeners. Now, Let's go big picture here. This is really important if you own a dental practice, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, Shelly. Like, when you contract, whether it be directly or not, you got to think long term about your business, because what happens is you start with all of these lease agreements, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, your practice starts to grow and it gets flooded with these patients. Now, on the other end of it, these PPO companies, it's not like you get this fee schedule and you're stuck with this fee schedule forever. They can play with these dials year over year. And before you know it, you're working really for them. And a majority of your patient base, it grows so fast, so quickly, you look up and you go, I don't even know what's going on, right?
That's a common question. I don't know what I'm credentialed with. I don't know what I'm in network with anymore. How do you know? That web is so big and it just keeps growing. And all of these networks keep making new agreements and attaching them to other agreements. And that most favored nations clause, where they can come in and look to see where is the lowest fee through your web that we can attach to, that we can then drop your rates to the lowest fee schedule available because the web touches it. And that's when practices start to really lose money at a fast rate without even really understanding how it happened. Yeah. How did it happen? We were getting paid so much better. We're contracted on this rate, but now we're not being paid that way anymore. And it's so confusing, and it's by design. So that is a by design confusion that is definitely winning in most practices.
Okay.
It's just how they do it.
So one of the questions becomes, what can I do if I'm listening to this podcast? Mm-hmm. Like, give me some advice.
So understanding, you really can't just take insurance in your practice and say, I signed up, I did what I need to do, and now it's out of mind, right? Out of sight, out of mind. We accept it. That's all we need to do. That is the worst advice you could ever take, is just sign up and then forget it because you've done your part. Insurance is a game where you have to be an active player. You have to know how your contracts are set up, what they share to, those share changes that are happening all the time, so you can reroute your fees to the best fee schedule you can obtain within your practice, because the networks have the ability to change that all the time. You need to put those stop gaps in place so that they can't change to those lower fees. And you can't just say, I did that one change, now it can't go lower. You still always need to have your eyes on, are the EOBs paying out on the fees we think they should be paying on? You know, the ones we set them up to be on. If you're not watching that continually, you are losing money in your practice.
Yeah. Can you go back to that? This is one of our favorite tips. And again, this is, I'm way out over my skis on this one. But you help me with this one, is the EOB thing. I want you to go back to that. Mm-hmm. So a good practice, if you own a practice, is to regularly audit EOBs. You don't have to do all of them, right? Like, give me like on a weekly basis, should I do 10? Should I have somebody doing 20 auditing them? Because you're going to see weird stuff on those, right?
You are. So I would say on a daily basis, you should have, when you're putting in your payments, you should have your cheat sheet at your front desk that has the fees laminated or right next to the PPO network. So if I'm getting paid for an Aetna claim, then it should be paying off of Connection, then these are the fees that we should see on that EOB. And if it doesn't reflect that, and after time, you're going to start to memorize those fees, right? You're going to see those common fees, your pro fees, your fillings, all of that's going to become just second nature to you. But at some point you're like, well, wait a minute, that fee seems lower. Is it the deductible that changed? You know, go in and do the math as to why that fee may look different. And then you're like, no, that's not the deductible. And there's always at the bottom of your EOB, not always, but 90 some percent of the time, there's going to be fine print at the bottom of that EOB that tells you which fee network was utilized in processing that explanation of benefits. So this Aetna claim was processed utilizing the agreement with Connection or with DHA or with Guardian or with Emeritus or now with MetLife, right? There's so many options. And so if you have the ability for a web within your networking to reach all of those, it can be changing to them if you don't stop it.
Yeah. And have a big bottle of Tums next to you when you're reading the fine print, because you're going to feel some level of discomfort in your chest when you do that. Now, again, question comes up for our clients all the time. Come on, Shelly, is any, now this is from the old timers, myself included, like, is any of this negotiable? Because some of this used to be, then I heard it wasn't. Like, is any of it negotiable at all?
It is still negotiable.
Okay.
It's just harder to negotiate. So
what's that mean?
It's a game, right? So I would say the most important thing for any practice is to really understand these credentialing contracts, right? So you're bringing in an associate, or you have a new tax ID and you have this opportunity to credential. Understanding what that contract you are agreeing to long term is going to determine how you can negotiate that contract moving forward. So I'm going to use, for an example, United Concord or United Healthcare. They have a clause in their contract that states if you go direct with them and decide to term it and wish to get picked up through Harrington, Connection, Denimax, you will be blocked indefinitely. There's no timeline. They're going to block you from allowing you to be picked up through a different fee schedule or contract, because they don't want you to be able to play the game any further than where you started. So if you go direct, you've limited yourself to that direct contract. You no longer can get out of it and pick it up somewhere else at a higher fee. And if you are stuck in that direct contract, what gives United Healthcare any reason to increase your direct rate? You're stuck. You can't get out of it unless you go out of network indefinitely with United Healthcare.
Yeah. One other thing too, that I would love for you to talk about. Most people know this, but a lot of people don't, is that this is provider specific, right? So like, mm-hmm. if I have an idea, I want to scale my practice. I'm going to bring in associates. I don't know who I'm going to find yet, but I'm going to find an associate mm-hmm. and I'm this level of provider, and they don't even think like that provider will have different credentials, and it's all based provider specific. Can you explain what that means?
It is. So you have the ability to, within your tax ID, to credential, right? So credentialing is done by tax ID and NPI-1. Your NPI-1 is the provider of service that follows them from practice to practice. So you bring an associate in who has worked for another office. Their NPI-1 was credentialed with United Concordia and Connection and some others. They have the ability to follow that associate into their new tax ID, which can wreak havoc on the entire credentialing process. In addition, though, you can credential that associate different from yourself. So say you, as the owner of the practice and of that tax ID, credentialed directly with United Concord or United Healthcare, and now you can't get out of it, right? You're stuck with that direct contract, but you now have learned, I don't want my associate to make the same mistake. I'm going to credential them through a different avenue. You can do that. Not all networks will allow that, but some will. So again, it's back to knowing what are the best ways to credential yourself, your associates, for long-term success within your practice. And really, that is something that is impossible for office managers or, you know, office owners to really understand and know that information on a day-to-day basis. That's what we do for a living. That is the knowledge that we are in the trenches with and wanting to share. So we don't want practices to think they should know this on their own without the help of others kind of guiding them through it.
Right. And again, go back. I have so many questions for you. The credentialing process itself, we have got, like, there are many misses. One of the misses is the time they think it's going to take. So can you talk about currently how long, what are you experiencing on the time to credential?
Okay. So your direct contracts typically take anywhere from, they would say 30 days to 60. I say the average credentialing time for a direct contract, so that's going direct with Aetna, direct with MetLife, and becoming in network with that company. So not picking up MetLife through Aetna yet, just Aetna, right? That's going to take about 45 days on average. That's what we typically see. Now, say you want to pick up Aetna through one of its lease affiliations, and there's a lot of them. That process takes longer. So say you're going to go through an umbrella company. You're going to first credential with the umbrella company. Then that credentialing typically is about 90 to 120 days for an umbrella to give you an effective date. Once you get your effective date with the umbrella, then the payers have an additional 30 to 90 days to load into that contract, to share the contract and be picked up by the umbrella to show in-network status on your claims. That does not mean you will show up on the directories yet. That can take an additional 6 months after you become in network for you to show up in the directories as an in-network provider through one of the shared options.
Right. Now, the reason I say that is that I don't have any clients that have done this, but I've talked to other dentists. You kind of have some bad thoughts. And one of the bad thoughts, and you know when this happens, you just hired this kid out of dental school. And it's taking way too long. This kid requires a salary. And you start figuring out, like, how am I got to get this kid working. Well, it's going to take a while. So, like, how am I going to pay this kid while he's, you know, and that's a huge no-no, right?
It is. So, honestly, our next blog coming out is on NPI fraud and several cases that have just closed up and what their fines were, if they had prison time or not. So NPI fraud, especially in the case of acquisitions or bringing in an associate, right? Acquisitions are tough because that sale, you know, you don't really have a lot of verbal communication with the office until the sale takes place. So it's hard to know how to even do credentialing until you own it. So then you take over this practice, you're not credentialed, you're out of network, and the panic sets in, not only from the doctor, but from the staff, right? They're like, you have to be a network. Everyone calls. And if you're not a network, then they won't set up. So then they are told, which is bad advice, that, hey, you can utilize the seller's NPI and tax ID number until you're set up under your new credentials. And that is identity fraud. That is insurance fraud. And then as you get into seeing patients with Medicare, Medicaid, those RAC audits are continual. So that's just something that's constantly being reviewed. And you're going to get caught on insurance fraud, identity fraud, which is federal crimes, not just the penalty of, oh, a slap on the hand, or you need to get credentialed accurately. It is a big crime. It is a big no-no. And unfortunately, we hear about it in our business all the time. Mm-hmm. Hey, we were told we can do this. Oh, we have an associate. They're just going to use the owning doctor's NPI-1 until they're fully credentialed. We have to get them seeing patients.
Yeah.
That is not the way to do it.
Yeah. The biggest heartbreak that we have is when somebody buys a practice. We get a young, well-intended dentist and they're like, well, this is a great practice. And they have this, this, and this. And I'm like, they have that. You do not yet. So you do need the help of an expert. That's our point. Whether it be Shelley or a broker who really understands the ins and outs of this. So.
Right. Right. There's again, and back to that new tax ID opportunity. That is your chance with a brand new tax ID to set yourself up correctly for long-term PPO success, avoiding those contracts that you can't get out of, that you can't negotiate further down the road. Making sure that you have an avenue to continually see growth and success is key to credentialing successfully.
Yeah. What other changes are coming this way that we should know about?
All right. Two more big ones starting October 1st. And that is going to be Cigna and Emeritus, another two-way share, meaning you can pick Emeritus up through Cigna and you can pick Cigna up through Emeritus. And then the other one is Humana and Cigna. So Cigna's really starting to kind of spread out and share further than they've done in the past. These shares are going to look very similar to picking Cigna up through an umbrella. So like picking Cigna up through Dentamax or picking it up through Carrington, those are all going to be very similar shares. It's just tied to these other direct contracts. So Humana and Emeritus will have October 1st share dates with Cigna. There is a little bit of uncertainty if the Emeritus and Cigna share is for sure two-way, but everything is pointing in that direction. So if that were to change, we will certainly update you as well as our blog about that. But it is sounding as though that will be a two-way share. So again, back to if you're credentialed one way or the other, you are now considered or will be considered October 1st in network with those shared options. You can opt out of those just like you've always been able to. So you're not required to take that share. But what is interesting about Cigna is Cigna has a shared agreement within their contract. So if you participate in a direct contract with Cigna, when you submitted your application, there's a portion in there that asks, do you want to participate with our national shared plan? And you would typically, if I were a new provider, not knowing what that means, say, no, I don't. I don't want to participate with that. So if you didn't sign up for the shared portion of Cigna's plan, then this share with Humana and Emeritus won't happen because you've already blocked it. If you want to pick Cigna up through Humana or through Emeritus, you have to be a part of Cigna's shared plan. Now, that works other ways as well. So say you don't want to pick up Humana or you don't want, you know, to pick up some of these other plans. You can't pick and choose with Cigna. You're either in it or you're out of their shared network. So you can't say, well, I enjoy being a part of Emeritus through Cigna, but I don't want to be a part of Humana through Cigna. It's all or none. Right. So you have to accept all of Cigna's shared options if you are a part of their shared network.
Wow. My head hurts already.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So. We have a whole blog out on that. So definitely go and read a little deeper into it when you guys get a chance.
And I would imagine you're only going to see more and more of this every year that goes by, right?
Yeah. Where they give and they take, right? So you're going to see more shares disappear and you're going to see more shares, you know, switch routes. So ultimately, sometimes when like Cigna does shares like this, maybe we'll see in the new year that they pull out of some of their umbrellas. I wouldn't be surprised. Not that we know that yet, but that's typically how these shares work. They're playing different avenues, changing things up, kind of shaking the whole thing up. And that is ultimately going to shake things up for your reimbursements. So as this share comes true in October, you then have the ability to start to see your fee structure shift, right? So if you have Humana in your practice and you have Cigna through a lease, it's going to most likely default to the lowest fee at that point in time. So again, looking at those EOBs and realizing where you're going to be paid is really important to making sure you don't lose money in your practice with these types of shares.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so you said we had two more things. Was that both of those?
That's it.
That's it. Okay, because I have some other questions I'd love to ask you about once we've covered that. So those are great. And again, you guys, if any of this sounds complex, in any situation, you need somebody who can make this simple. And I can't say enough about Shelley and her team. So if this hurts your head like it does mine, reach out to her. Those guys will help you decode this. We're going to leave space at the end of this because I want you to share what you do and how you do it. If I'm a dentist listening to this and this just feels overwhelming, but I want to ask you a couple questions. Like, this is in the news everywhere. This is not new. And it happened in my own state of Wisconsin. A big insurance company, you know who they are, purchased a dental practice. First of all, how can they do that? That's what everybody's asking me. And I'm like, I have no idea. It's everywhere. Everyone's asking me about it. I'm like, I'm not an expert on this. So number one, did you hear about that news? Of course, you probably
yes.
did. Number two, how can they do that? And then my third question on that issue is, what's your hypothesis behind this? Like, is the world coming to an end? What is going on, Shelley?
I think it floors everyone. I'm still a little bit floored myself. Okay, so let's back up. There has been numerous states, 5, 6, 7 states where you can purchase a dental practice, own a dental practice without being the primary provider of the practice. Some states you don't even need to be a dentist. You can be a hygienist. you can be an equity investor and not be an actual DDS to own a dental practice. Wisconsin is one of those states. You do not have to be a dentist to own a practice in Wisconsin. Typically, you have to have somebody as your, you know, on your board that is a dentist. So that's how this happened in Wisconsin. I don't think anyone thought in a million years that the insurance company would do it. And so I think that is what is the big shock. No one thought it would happen. And now it's happened. And now the discussions of, is this ethical? Can we allow this to happen? Will this continue to be a trend? I don't have the answers to that. But in my theory, I think this will not be the trend that we typically see. I think this will be fought pretty hard. And I do think there's going to have to be regulation that gets, you know, written up on this and hopefully kind of limits the ability for this to take place.
Yeah, I hope so too. Why would they do it? Like, and it's anyone's guess. I've heard like 50 reasons. Like, I just want to control all the elements. Like,
I think so.
Want to be the first to do it, you know, type of a thing.
I think there's that as well. You know, I think there's a lot of reasons why they wanted to do it. I really do. But then if I look at it, I don't think I would want to be the first, because I do think the backlash of this is going to be pretty wild. So something to keep an eye out on, something to continue to watch. Again, there are multiple states that this can happen in. So I'm anxious to see if this is a trend that we start to notice as in those states that we can purchase practices without being actual dentists or owners of the practice.
Yeah, gosh, I just love having you on the show. I have so many. We could do a 3-hour episode with all the questions that I get.
And I'm head would hurt.
I know. But I'm gonna finish with one last thought or question, and then I want you to share with people what you do and how you do it. You know, you and I talked before I hit the go button. I think what you do is incredible. You help people decode this. We're a smaller coaching company. I mean, we have a small group of clients, 150 clients-ish or more, you know, type of a thing. And we help them get over that wall of like, oh my gosh, I'm like charging my own fee now. Like, it's crazy. And I want to be super clear. People come up to me all the time and they go, oh, you're the person that helps people go completely out of network. Yeah, well, not really. I mean, we have a lot of people that choose to do that. We don't ever tell them they have to do that. But I am confident about one thing. I like them to be independent. Meaning, if you're 100% PPO, let's go to 50% PPO and let's pause right there. And I want to ask you how you feel at that point. And they go, this is amazing. I make so much more money. I get to choose. I can't believe that people would actually pay me. And I'm like, oh my gosh. You're only getting started. Now, I'm going to couple that with another one of my biggest pains and banes of my existence is fake news. People are like, you know, fee-for-service dentistry is going away. It's all DS. No, it's not. You guys, look at the data. Like, now more than ever, COVID became the perfect catalyst for this. We had so many clients go, I was thinking about it. Now, I don't need to think about it. And they've moved away from insurance either completely or greatly, and now they're thriving. And you don't hear people talking about it a lot, but now more than ever, we see people completely out of network or moving that way, and they're crushing it. And you help me with this. The average practice, maybe this has changed, that heavily participates in PPOs is writing off as much as 42%, 43%. Shelley, we are finding people that are writing off 55% right now in the month of September, 2025. And I'm like, why are you doing this? And they go, I didn't even know I was doing that. So I just threw a ton at you. Help us decode that.
So you are so right. People feel like they have to be a part of insurance, right? Especially starting out. And I don't want anyone to get the misconception that PPO Advisors is only for helping practices stay in network, because that is not what we want. We are also of the mindset of what you do as well. We want to see practices lose dependency on insurance. So if we need to keep what makes sense, then that's fine. But let's work to losing dependency back to these shared contracts. The more of these contracts you have, the bigger your web is in your practice and the more money you actually are losing, because that web is so complex And it is so hard to manage that within a dental practice anymore. We outsource so much, but you can't outsource this web, right? You can't have a billing company necessarily watch your web for you. That's just not what they do. So you are opening your doors to the ability to have the insurance companies dictate behind your back what you're actually going to get paid without having to send you a letter, without having to inform you that we're dropping your rates or any of that. So having that loss of dependency on insurance is really key to practice success, in my opinion. Obviously, we work with insurance, right? So we want to optimize it. We want to help a practice see the value where it's there. But when it is not there, you should not be in network with it. And so we help evaluate practices. So our whole goal is education, evaluation of how your practice is currently surviving, sustaining with the current contracts you have. We then negotiate and look at all of the options that you can optimize your PPO contracts. And then go over those pros and cons. Yes, you can get an increase of 20% if you move to this contract. The con to that is this, XYZ, whatever that may be. Practices need to know exactly what they're getting into with insurance. It's not what it used to be in the 90s where you signed a contract. There were no hidden stipulations involved. It was just a contract. It is not like that anymore. There's so much more to it. So if we can educate and help practices see where their opportunities are, and if the cons outweigh the pros, or if the pros outweigh the cons, to move in those directions, right? And then, just like you said, let's drop that rate of dependency, because most of the time, almost every practice, at least 90% of the practices that are heavy PPO we work with are overly contracted, meaning they have overlap of networks they don't need. And it's opening up avenues for their networks to default to lower payments, and they're losing money as a result of not knowing how to manage that. You do not need to accept every contract, and you do need to understand how those contracts can play off of each other and impact your bottom line. So 100%, we need to lose dependency on contracts, and we need to not feel like that is the only way to be a successful dental practice. Much bigger picture involved here.
Yeah, I love what you said. And, you know, if you're a dentist, the reason you became a dentist, most of you, is that you wanted the freedom, freedom to choose how to take care of people, freedom of way to choose your hours, where to practice, what to charge, decide the treatment that was in the best interest of the patient. And what's bigger that we don't really talk about a lot with insurance is like all that freedom slowly gets taken from you. Somebody else is making that decisions. And I don't need to scare you, but like we listen to all of this information. Now their insurance companies are using AI at a heavy rate to audit things. Now they're not using people anymore. They're using AI to audit a lot of this. And so you can't win against that. And I'm not here to make you feel bad about that. I'm just telling you, there's another way to do it. There really is. If you believe in yourself,
really
you believe what you're doing is valuable. You believe you can get patients to come to your office and choose you because they like you and they want to pay your fee and they value your dentistry. The biggest obstacle, and maybe one more question, Shelly, that all of us have is this. It's how we think about what we do. I think when you are a dentist and you believe I'm valuable, what I do is great, I can create a practice where people come to see me. They're going to pay my fees for the most part. They're going to come when I tell them to come. That's when all of this changes, right?
It does. I have a great example. I had a client call. We did their startup. She went to network with quite a few, and then gradually we helped get out, right? Now she's working 3 days a week, and that is her goal. She's got small children. She's working 3 days a week. She went down from 5 to 3, making more money than she was seeing all the insurances. And now her fear is, she's like, gosh, if I decide to sell, I'm going to have to add insurance back in because my practice won't feel as though it's marketable to anybody else. And I'm like, you've won.
Yeah.
You finally got to your goal. You're working less, making more, and seeing the patients that are benefiting your practice. You did it. And there's still that stigma out there, like, but I'm not involved with enough insurance to be considered successful or marketable or whatever. And so really making sure these providers look at what their goals are and what they're trying to achieve and not what anybody else is, and realizing insurance doesn't have to play that big of a role in it. Boy, that freedom is it's just a wonderful feeling.
Yeah. It's so interesting you say that, because again, I love watching these transformations. We talk for hours on these stories because I love them. And we label them false proxies, because here's one. We'll do an episode. I want to do an episode with you on like false feelings dentists have, because we have a great practice locally. They've dropped all of their insurances, and she's a young female dentist. And she's like, Kirk, it is the biggest mind game ever. I'm looking at my schedule and it's half open. Our gross production has dropped a lot, but our collections are skyrocketing. I'm making so much money. And I have like an hour open here and an hour open here. I'm not built for I'm built for speed. And I'm like, you should just breathe and enjoy this. Like I have to show her you're making more money, you know? And it's not about the money. It's like, now you have the ability to slow down. And she's like, oh my gosh, I don't know how to deal with this. Do you see that at
all? So as business owners, and dentists forget this so often because they're so busy.
Right.
That now you have these hour open, you know, schedulings, whatever, that you can work on your business, not in your business. And that is so important, to work on your business, to visualize, to grow it. And if you can open up your schedule and make more money and do that, that is winning.
Shelly, I'm in. How's this work? Like, if I'm a dentist listening, tell me what you do. How can you help me? Walk me through
absolutely.
The process.
So go to our website. We encourage everyone to go to our website, ppoadvisors.com. There is a form there that you can fill out to connect with someone and talk about our services, or just shoot me an email, Shelly with an EY at ppoadvisors.com, and we'll get you on our calendar and we'll talk. So typically what our services are is we are an analysis first. So we want to learn about your practice, evaluate its current health with the insurances, be able to recognize and point out where you can optimize or drop or add if you need, depending on what your situation is, and then really educate. So we are dedicated to the education of insurance. This is not something we want to safeguard and hold just for ourselves. We want to expel the knowledge so that you guys can make educated decisions and really grow your practice in the best possible way. So an analysis is what we do. We negotiate with the networks. We go over the education of how optimization can help or how dropping can help. And then we help implement those changes based on how involved you as a practice want to be. So many things that we can do for practices, just in terms of credentialing and advising. So certainly go to our website, look at all of those things, and get some time on our calendar so we can talk to you guys.
Awesome. Shelly, thank you so much for being on. I learned so much today. So good stuff.
So much is changing. So be prepared.
It is. We're going to have you back again and again and again. So thank you for being on today. So
thank you.
Stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show. I hope you enjoyed that. Do me a favor. If you have a friend in dentistry who's struggling with this stuff, share this podcast with them and say, hey, listen, I got a podcast for you. Can you just listen to it? Because I think this might help you. And if you're just wondering about a lot of the things that Shelly shared, just reach out to Shelly. She's awesome. She'll help you with this and help you decode all the complexity. And that's what this show is about, helping you guys create a better practice and better life. So with over 900 episodes, we got like 9,000 more to come because we love this stuff. So if you guys keep showing up, we're going to keep bringing it. So until we see you guys next time, or you hear from us next time, keep watching or keep listening to the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it, so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.